This Twin Peaks Investing Podcast is brought to you in association with ShareScope, the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. Visit ShareScope.co.uk and discover the advantage.
Hello and welcome to the Twin Peaks Investing Podcast. This is podcast number 156. It's the 26th of June, 2025. Welcome back, everybody. The markets have been up, down and sideways. Lots of volatility since we last spoke. But we'll get into that in a minute. I'm just going to check in with our fantastic co-host, Mr. Henry Viola here at HT Viola on X. And I'm your co-host, Peter Higgins, at Conkers 3. How are you diddling, Henry?
How are the markets treating you, sir? Very well. I'm pleased to say that after jinxing things on our last episode and starting a regional war, things have continued to improve in my portfolio. I don't know quite what that means ethically, but yes, we're all still here. The markets are up, so I'm guessing that's good, really.
It's not been too bad, has it? You know, since over the past 2 weeks, the markets have been ebbing and flowing. I think just before we had the last pod, Henry, it was when we hit the record high, yeah, of 888.4. That's how I remember it, 888.4, on the 12th of June. So we surpassed the last peak in March. And since then, it's been up, down, and we're just in that little range between 888.50 and just sub 8750, just in between. But you did put the curse on it. We didn't hit the 9,000. In fact, we didn't hit the... Did we hit the 8,900?
I think we did briefly, didn't we?
I think we did very briefly. I think we did hit it briefly, but we didn't sustain it. So here we are. And what's been happening, as you mentioned, tensions. It wasn't Henry's fault, but we have got Middle East, even more Middle East tensions at present. Retail sales came out, which wasn't really, really good. They fell, the data for May, didn't it, Henry? So that didn't help us.
Not great news.
Bank of England held as well. Yeah. And the pound has been strengthening against the dollar. So all the large companies that we've got who are exporting are not doing as well. You know, stronger sterling means that their products are a bit more expensive. And of course, quite a lot of them are still going to be thinking about how do we navigate whatever sort of tariffs are going to be hitting them. And we'll be talking about some stocks going forward about tariffs and what they're saying about it and what they're not saying about it. But at present, the markets are holding up almost bizarrely too well, if that makes sense, Henry. And then we wake up this morning to news. Well, I missed it because I was out last night. I woke up this morning to news, which was then countered or already been countered, about BP and Shell. Yeah, essentially having the largest merger ever across the UK. And just for disclosure, I own one of those companies. You can imagine which one I do own, Henry. Yeah. But only as a sum of the parts equation. So we'll see what happens with regards to that. I think most people will be able to work out which one I've got. Anyway, we will see. Dividends matter, Henry. Nice and looks compound with a nice blue chip. That's, if we're lucky, we'll never go out of business, but who knows? Mr. Miliband wants to put them all out of business, doesn't he? So let's see.
Right. The government seems to want to put everybody out. Full stop.
Let's not go there.
Let's not go there, perhaps.
I didn't want to trigger you there to go into politics, mate. Let's try and keep that as our private conversations, mate. Yeah, the choice words that you use can't be shared on there, Henry. Yeah?
Sadly not, yeah.
So, you mentioned you wanted to speak about the industrial space and some unloved stocks, yeah?
I do, yes. Well, you know, your favourite saying, Peter, takeovers are coming, is so, so true. And, you know, that The pound has strengthened a little bit against the dollar, but generally speaking, the UK stock market is on its knees. I don't think a day goes by when I don't open the City AM and there's some headline from some investment banker screaming about the death of the UK stock market. AIM's going to collapse. The FTSE's going to collapse. We're not going to have a stock market. We used to be the envy of the world. We're all doomed. I mean, I've got to say, as somebody that primarily invests in the UK stock market, it feels a little bit hyperbolic, but, you know, it gives you a good headline, I suppose. But that aside, there are lots and lots of foreign entities out there, venture capitalists, private equity firms, just general blue chip listed businesses that are looking at the UK and realizing that there are some incredible companies over here available for, you know, cents on the dollar, as they would see it. You can buy some huge industrial names, some leading technology businesses, some massive heritage brands, and they're at really beaten down valuations. And a friend of mine that listens to the podcast was talking to me about the industrial space. And so I started kicking the tires a little bit and a couple of names popped out. And I thought this was an area that you and I could maybe talk through on this episode.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So
can I just hold you back 1 second before we get into that? You touched on about the markets being the death of the markets and the markets not doing so well and da 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 da. One of the things we have to mention on here, I'm sure everyone has seen it, has been the conversations and also the anniversary of 30-year anniversary of the AIM market. I think we
just
mentioned
been,
it briefly.
Hasn't it?
And I've seen lots and lots of stuff going across the social media and in the press about how fantastic a job that AIM has done. And people forget the fantastic job that they've done because over more recent years, it's not been that good, has it? To be honest with you. Yeah, some fantastic companies come out of it and been taken over, moved to the FTSE, moved to the FTSE 250, have grown and gone into the FTSE 100. And some of them have been taken over for silly premiums compared to what they IPO'd at. But the past 18 months, 2 years, there's not a lot of positives come out of there, really. There's still some good companies on there, without a doubt, but there's significant room for improvement. Would you agree?
Oh, well, I mean, absolutely. But, you know, one of the things that struck me when we had that 30-year anniversary was actually the statistics of the AIM market compared to peers. So there was a Spanish one that's been and gone. There was a French one that's been and gone. There was a German one that's been and gone. These things have been founded to house small, innovative businesses in their home countries, and they've collapsed. AIM is still going. You know, it's raised over £130 billion since it was since it was launched. You know, and in the last couple of years, although listings are down and there are more delistings going on than there are listing, it's still raising billions every year for companies in equity issuance and debt issuance. And those businesses support hundreds of thousands of jobs across the UK. You know, this isn't some theoretical, it's not just numbers on a screen we're talking about here. These are real companies with real people employed in the UK, real jobs, you know, people paying national insurance contributions and income tax and corporation tax. It's all money for the exchequer. So people saying that AIM's doomed and it's a disaster, I can understand a little bit the concern, and we all want to see AIM doing well and growing and thriving. And it does seem to be struggling right now, but I personally by no means think that we're going to see the death of AIM by the end of 2025. And if you read some of these articles, it feels like some people are suggesting that almost.
Agreed. There's still room for reform, changing the liquidity, improving liquidity and reducing costs maybe. We'll see what happens going forward. I think they need to do a bit more and to encourage other companies to consider it with a lower cost. Right, so you're going to go first, Henry, I think, with your opening gambit regarding an industrial or a engineering company. This is linked also, folks, regarding the conversations with Henry and I have been having about Spectrus and what happened with Spectrus and what the share price now is. I think we're going back to late May. I think late May, the share price was sub £20. Today, I think it closed above 38 when I last looked. Yeah. And that's within what, 7 weeks since we're in May? Yeah. sorry, what I'm saying, 7 weeks. 7 weeks since the price was, sub 20 quid, if not
Yeah,
less.
it's
Yeah,
absolutely rocketed away.
5, 6 weeks even. So the fact it's almost at 100% premium to the price that it was then, despite all the different stuff's going. And you know what? KKR may even come back and say, we really
Yeah.
want this company. But nobody wanted it
Yeah.
at 20 quid. But somebody's willing to pay down 38
Well, I
plus.
had this with Warehouse REIT this week. So I talked about
Oh.
Warehouse REIT. It was the first share I ever talked about on the podcast.
Yeah.
I've held it since IPO, always been a fan. And takeover offer comes in from a private equity firm. I think it was something like 108. It was originally something like £1.12. They knocked
Yeah.
it down to 108 because they decided they didn't like one of the developments. The board recommends it. Shareholders, are going to accept it. All fine. You think it's done and dusted. And somebody says to me, "All right, well, are you moving on now? Because you're only going to get 2% and it's going to take months to close. So you might as well move on." And I said, "Well, no, I'm still holding. I'm not holding because I think I'm going to get more than 2%. I'm just holding because I don't know what else to do with the money, to be perfectly blunt right now. It's my biggest
Yeah.
position. Or at least it was before the price leveled out. I had something overtake it recently, but it's my largest position. I can't just liquidate that and redeploy it instantly. So I'm just going to wait."
Fair enough.
1 week later, and Tritax Big Box have come along and gone, "Oh, actually, yeah, if they'll give you 108, we'll give you, what was it, 112, 114?
114.2, Henry.
114.2. Plus, you get some extra dividends and various other odds and ends. I think you get some Tritax Big Box shares thrown in." So I thought, well, worth hanging on, wasn't it? And now, well, what's the private equity firm going to do? Sit there and have this gazumped from under them?
They've already invested a lot of money in this already, mate. They might well walk away, but it does make you think. Actually, the winner usually is you, the shareholder. When they're jostling like this and fighting over it, and you're going, these assets were undervalued by 20, 30%, 40%, only
Yeah.
2, 3 months ago. Now suddenly everybody wants it.
Yeah.
Couldn't give it away before.
Yeah.
So happy days for you and all the other investors that have got double HR, mate. You know,
Yeah.
I'm hoping that some of that luck runs over on a certain one we've got in that space. But I'm not going to even mention the
Yeah.
name. Don't even mention the name, Henry. Don't mention the name. Don't spook it.
Won't sink
You
your
know.
battleship. Anyway,
Yeah. No.
on
I
to
think you own it as well. I think you own it as well. So
I could do.
you do. Yeah.
On to new targets. New targets, yes. So a friend of mine that listens to the show mentioned this to me, and I'm hoping he doesn't listen and curse the day he ever met me for mentioning this, because I don't know if he's actually bought it yet. I think he's just opened a position. And he keeps asking me, "Are you going to go for it? Are you going to go for it?" I said, "Well, no, if anything, I'm trying to trim positions at the minute, not keep adding." But anyway,
Likewise.
This company is Spirax Sarco Engineering. The ticker is
Okay.
SPX. It's an £8.5 billion market cap manufacturer of industrial and commercial steam systems, electric thermal solutions, and peristaltic pumps.
Okay.
It's a very old, very well-known engineering business in the UK. This thing's been around forever. It's got 1,700 product lines, 2,500 staff. In fact, actually, it might even be more than that. And 85% of their sales are actually gener sorry, 85% of their revenue is actually generated from recurring maintenance on stuff they've already sold. They've been going so long, they've got kit all over the place in all kinds of things. And of course, with engineering kit, you have to send engineers out to maintain it and oil it and check it and repair parts and all the rest of it. And that costs money, which Spirax Sarco get back. Now, I've always known Spirax is a leader in steam and thermal energy management. I mean, years and years and years ago, when I was in marketing, one of my sales guys was desperate to close a deal with Spirax, and they were calling every single day for weeks and weeks. And every day I'd say, "What are you going to do today?" "I'm going to go after Spirax." And at the end of the day, I'd walk out of the office. "Did you get hold of him?" "No, they didn't pick up the phone." And this went on for weeks. And eventually, this guy managed to get through. And he was so excited. He's going a million miles an hour about the firm and what we do. And can we come and see you and all the rest of it? Turned out he was talking to the bloke's PA. He was 10 minutes into the call before he realized.
Lesson.
So next time, just ask who you're talking to before you go for it. But anyway,
So key.
the business has got fairly attractive operating margins, 20%. It's a profitable company. It's got very low customer churn. Businesses that buy from Spirax tend to stay with Spirax, and that's partly because of this technical moat they've got. The products are very deeply integrated into the manufacturing processes of their customers. It's hard to get rid of them. Very expensive, very risky. Why bother when you've got something that works? Now, I think Spirax is the kind of business that a foreign acquirer could just wander along and go, "We'll have that." If you were a multinational, global industrial firm, or an Asian, one of these big Asian conglomerates, buying Spirax gives you geographic diversity. It gives you an established, wide-ranging product line. And the business is available basically for pocket change. I mean, 8.5 billion compared to companies in the US, this is a rounding error for a lot of them. So Spirax is one that I'm quite curious about to see what quite curious to see what happens over the coming months. I'll put it that way.
Okay. It's an interesting stock, Henry, and it's a quality stock. And I think what you said there about it being around forever, and it's now embedded itself, in the infrastructure of almost everything that's going on. It's one of those companies invariably, we, and I say the royal we as investors, look at it and go, that's pretty boring actually, what it's doing there. It's not exciting enough. The share price is just going meandering along. Nobody wants it, but that's exactly what happened with Spectris. It was just doing solidly progressing, steady, just doing its thing, no bells and whistles. You haven't got a jazz hands sort of CEO that's always on the news and on Twitter X and all the forms of social media championing what they're doing and telling everybody they're the best company in the world. It's a British engineering company essentially that's just doing what it does. So I think that causes sometimes our stocks to not only be unloved, undervalued, underappreciated, but sometimes effectively ignored, Henry.
Yeah,
How
totally
many
ignored.
brokers has it got for that size of company? It should have loads. It should be having IR and PR all over the place. You very rarely hear a peep out of them.
I can't remember the last
Other
time
than
I saw an
the
investor video from them.
trading updates and half year and full year, we're just doing what we need. We don't need any noise. We're just cracking on with what we do. So unfortunately, it is going to be another one of them that you, as you say, the behemoths look at that and go, you know what, that should be valued at 15 million quid. We can pick it up if we put a 10% premium on it and buy it for 9.5. It could be gone just like that, mate. And then we're all going,
Exactly.
oh,
We've lost another British
so
giant. It's a
another one
cracking
gone.
business. I mean, the shares were up at £160 in 2021. They're under 60 now. They've dropped £100 a share. And
Wow.
that's a business that's positive, cash flowing. It's got a 13.5% return on capital, and it pays a dividend, 3% dividend. It's got an awful lot of attractive features for risk-averse investors, in my opinion. And well, I say risk-averse investors. I wouldn't say it was risk-averse if I'd owned it at 160 and I was still holding it at 60. I'd feel
Yeah,
like,
it has
Jesus,
fallen
what have I
down a little
done?
bit.
But, as an operating entity, a lot of positive features.
So just because I haven't got the data in front of me on ShareScope there, right? What is the PE and what is the forecast growth? Because
Let's
that
have a
will then
look.
tell us if things are just dipping down or where they're moving. Because if they've been la lagging for a little while,
Well,
Henry, that's
very
possibly.
positive. I mean, the PEG is through the roof. It's over 10, but the forecast PE is only 20.
Right.
Well, I say only 20. I mean, this is, it is at the high end
You're
of
paying for
what
the
I
quality. You're
consider.
paying for the high-end
This
quality.
is the thing,
So,
but it's forecast to grow. Earnings per share, 1.5%. Not fantastic, but it is
not
growing.
fantastic.
Pre-tax earnings, 10.5%.
I think what's happening with that share price there, people looking at the PE of 20 and going, "What's the growth?" They're expecting it to be at least 10. Yeah, you're paying a premium for the growth, but the growth is, use the word, tepid. You want a bit more than 1%. After all of that fighting, you've got an £8 billion company, and it's, what's it making? 1% increase in revenue, or 1% increase in profits. People are going, I don't want to pay for that. But you know what? The private equity will, and they'll shred it, and they'll cut it, and they'll slice and dice it, and sell off the bits and pieces, what and they will get a sum of parts intrinsic value. Yeah,
it's
or 15
perfect.
Billion for it.
It's per. I mean, you could come along. It's 4.5. You could offer 5.5 billion for it. So a 25% uplift. And you're telling me that that's not worth anything close to the 160 it was worth 4 years ago.
This is a quick hello to you, our valued Twin Peaks Investing podcast listener. Whatever channel you're listening to, please make sure to subscribe and you'll always be the first to get the new episodes. Thank you for your continued support.
That's the markets, mate. The markets are the markets, and usually,
you know,
it's a
revenue
takeover.
Is, I mean, the bit that gets me, so I, on a purely acquisition sort of basis, and I bear in mind I'm not an M&A specialist, but if I was buying this as a bolt-on, one of the things I'd be interested in is revenue. How much revenue am I getting from it? So in 2021, it's costing me 160 quid a share, and it did 1.3 billion in turnover. Now I can get it for 60 and it's doing 1.6 billion turnover.
Yeah.
Look at the profit, the operating profit. Again, it's 300 million. So the margin, the margin's compressed a little bit, but it's a profitable organization.
It is. I think there's a little bit of caution on it for two reasons, additional to what I've said earlier. And that's probably the tariff stuff, how they're going to navigate that. And also with the FX issue probably causing some headwinds regarding their revenues and how much that might impact it. A stronger sterling is not going to help them being a global entity, and a lot of the businesses go into America. So yeah, good company. Possibly, I use the word possibly, wrongly priced. And when the takeover comes, there'll be a minimum of 25 to 30% premium to whatever it is, you know, on the day. But yeah, good company, mate. I've tried to avoid quite a lot of the companies that are in this space, Henry, and here's a couple of reasons why. My mum has got a shed load of Alma, retired from working for them. I own Discovery. I own Smith's Group, and I own Oxford Instruments, and my dad owns Croda, right? I've got them on my watch list. I'm just looking for them to get, been sitting at that 30 quid bit, and I'm waiting for them to just dip below that somehow, and then I'll be going, I'll upset him but I'll be nibbling away. I've had it in my watch list since I spoke to Charlie Huggins last year and a bit ago, and I've just been watching it. And again, that's got headwinds and what's going to happen regarding tariffs as well, so I'm not going to speak about any of those. What am I going to start with, Henry? I'm going to start with what shall I go with, Henry?
I don't know. I can't see your list.
What shall I go with? Okay. I'm going to talk about one of the stocks that had a lot of pop on the Spectris news.
Okay.
And that is Renishaw. Another one very similar to your Spirax one.
Yeah.
That another long-term British company, you know, been around for a good while, and their share price now is not doing too bad, but could do much better. And again, the share price has gone up more recently via the Spectris bid. So the share price is sitting at 28.15, 28.25 when I last looked, Henry. Market cap, if you can pull up the details there, 2.1 billion, forecast PE of 21, forecast yield 2.7, Roche of 12.9%. And this is interesting as well, again, about why it might be lowly priced or lower priced now in comparison to the highs that it's had in the past. 3-year average Roche is 17.2. So you can see how much that's come down over the past 3 years. However, 8th of May, Henry, their trading update was a positive one, and it upped their guidance for full-year sales and profits and said it and said it was, this is interesting, it goes back to the tariffs conversation we had. They said they are introducing a surcharge to pass on regarding the impact of additional costs from US tariffs. So we're going to be impacted. We're going to put a surcharge onto our customers. Because of the kit that they provide for everybody, you know, metrology, healthcare systems, automations, implants, dental restorations, you name it. You either go without them or you don't get them from them, basically. So we can pass on those sort of charges, right? So a global leader in precision technologies, offering solutions in enhanced productivity and process control. Yeah. They're growing in the India and Chinese markets, Henry. Yeah. These precision bits of kit are in everything, automotive wise. The defense bit as well, no one really talks about what they provide for the defense sector. So this is a particular reason why I particularly like this. It's had 5 years of underperforming the markets, Henry, as a share price. Look at the share price charts. We're now into the fifth year of it going incrementally going down.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're trying their very best to become more efficient and more profitable. This is the sting in the tail bit, though, here for me, right? 19th of June, this is a bit of news that I found. And this is how it's read. Gloucestershire-based global engineering firm Renishaw has announced a voluntary redundancy scheme for its UK and Ireland employees in a bid to make 20 million in savings. Yeah, they employ over 3,000 people. I'm not sure how many people they're looking at regarding that to make that saving of 20 million. It can't be that many, but they shouldn't be making redundancies as far as we as investors look at them, because that's that almost for us looks as a sign of weakness. Yeah.
However, weak
macro conditions for them,
yeah,
that they're having,
yeah,
to make savings by redundancy. However, the city often looking at, you know what, maybe they found some savings there. Maybe after getting rid of those 20 million of savings, they'll become more efficient. They look more interested in that company after they made a shed load of redundancies.
Mm.
We look and go, that's a weakness. What they should be,
I'm always
should they employ more people?
That narrative. I mean, it is true, generally speaking, investors like redundancy programs because it reduces cost. But as somebody that's worked in a corporate or works in a corporate, you, yeah, usually end up, if you, well, in fact, I've very rarely seen it where it's not the case. You end up ripping out productive capacity and you shrink as a business.
Yeah.
And then you end up having to come back 6-9 months later because your revenue's now dropped. And you,
yeah,
go, well, actually, I know we just laid off 20% of the workforce, but now we need to lay off another 10%.
Yeah.
You know, it's not as straightforward as just costs have gone down, profit will go up. Sometimes costs go down, but revenue goes down with it. And actually, you know, better off than when you started. You're just a smaller company.
Indeed. So the commentary here, Henry, as a first step, we are opening a voluntary redundancy program for all employees based in the UK and Ireland. In our EMA sales region, there will be a thorough analysis of our structures in all countries within the region, and we'll make adjustments where required to guarantee continuity of the business based on the current revenue and current future business trends. So they recognize growth aspects in APAC and the Americas region means that they'll make limited reductions there. But clearly they think, you know, this is the best place to do it. Bizarrely, last month or so, in line with the Spectra sort of takeover, the shares are up 9% in the past month, Henry. The price range is a low of 21.45 and a high of 37.95, and the shares are sitting at 28 at the moment. So bang in the middle-ish, if you want to call it that, there, thereabouts in the middle. So that's the one I would share as another almost unloved one. Hasn't done as well as it should do. We mentioned the situation regarding their growth, and it's one of them, mate. I'm not sure about it. It's one of them. If you're looking at the markets that they're in, and looking at Spectris as an example, being undervalued when it's popped. How undervalued is this? I've not done a sum of parts analysis or an intrinsic value analysis of it. That'd take me too long. But given where they've been in and all of the companies that they're wedded to, could be an interesting sort of stock to purchase, not purely for a takeover, but for efficiencies to be had.
Yeah.
And some significant contracts to be won, because they don't seem to have gone anywhere for a long time. You had a quick look at the chart,
I mean,
didn't
the
you?
Problem with a lot, the problem with an awful lot of these like big institutions is that they build up institutional inertia. It's almost impossible to go in and actually make any changes because people have been there for decades. It's always going to carry on the way it's going to be going. You know, you get a newcomer that comes into the business, they just get absorbed into the system, or they cause an almighty fuss and get themselves fired. It's very, very rare in big corporates that people come in and actually make meaningful change, because you get sort of, it's fear of being the odd one out. People want you to conform. The social pressure is to conform. It's to do things the way that they've been done. And with the best will in the world, no room of people ever sit there. And when someone new comes in and goes, this is all rubbish, do it differently. You go, oh, yeah, I always thought we were all a load of idiots. You know, I never thought we were any good anyway. It's great that you're here. We'll take everything hook, line, and sinker. More often than not, everybody gets defensive and starts going, well, no, we did it like that because of X, Y, and Z, and we'll continue doing it like that. You don't understand.
Indeed. Interestingly, though, Henry, as a stock that's not done so well for some significant time, and up to, going back to up to March of this year, Terry Smith had it in the Smithson Fund. As part, I think it was within his top 10, I think it was. Was it in his top 10? Anyway, had it as one of his holdings. And it'd be interesting to see, obviously it's gone up since the lows of the past 52 weeks, if he either adds to it going forward or exits it now that it's gone back into the mid-range from its lows. So, you know, he's got a good reputation, Terry Smith, but he doesn't always get it right. And this is an example of a stock that for 5 years or so hasn't really delivered for him, but I haven't checked if he still owns that since the data that I got for March. So that's another stock to consider, have a look at. But it needs a catalyst, and I'm hoping it's not the catalyst of another takeover. But it would appear that most of the stocks that are around that sort of arena, precision engineering, automation, blah, 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 technical embedded sort of companies in global trade that we've got, they all look vulnerable, mate.
Yeah, they do. They do.
So
I mean, there's another one that, you know, I used to own this years ago, and it never did anything other than lose revenue. Year after year after year, the revenue went down, and the directors would say, oh, don't worry, next 6 months, we're going to turn it around. Next 6 months, we're going to launch a new product line. Next 6 months, don't worry, we've got more orders coming in. Oh, they were delayed. Don't worry, it'll be the next 6 months, though. This went on for years. In the end, I just went, you know, sod it, I'll move on. And it was Victrex, the ticker's VCT, specialty chemicals company that specializes in the manufacture and use of something called polyether ketone. The acronym is PEEK, which I always thought was quite cute. It's an ultra high performance, lightweight plastic. What makes it ultra high performance, I don't know, but it sounds very cool for basically what's plastic. Now, the business has two segments. There's a sustainable solutions bit that targets transportation, energy, electronics, and manufacturing. And then they also had a bit that did, I think it was like medical products, healthcare solutions for implantable devices. So these are things that are going into your body or being used on you. And they operated all over the world, UK, Europe, Middle East and Africa, America. It was a huge business. And I actually think most of their sales were the Middle East and Africa. It was a huge market for them. £1 billion business, right? And it was always marketed to me as a leader in polymer engineering. It's one of the few producers globally of this PEEK stuff, which is used in aerospace, automotive, and medical devices. They've got a huge range of IP to use PEEK, to license PEEK, for other people to manufacture PEEK. And it's the sort of business that I could see a big engineering firm or a big manufacturing business going, you know what, we'll just come along and buy it. A larger chemical conglomerate looking to secure materials innovation, or a backlog of, or a bank of IP rights. Victrex is that sort of company. Again, it's been going for decades doing this stuff. They've got the rights to all kinds of interesting innovations. But the share price has been absolutely catastrophic. Earnings just fall and fall. Revenue falls and falls. They've had margins under pressure. And the valuation has just gone down and down and down. And I could see someone like, who's that big American chemicals company? DuPont.
DuPont.
Turning up and going, you know what, we'll buy that because we can fix it. Those Brits, they don't know what they're doing. They're a bunch of sleepy blokes from Oxbridge, right? They've made a complete dog's dinner of this. We'll buy it, sack the board, and run it properly.
Yeah, DuPont. I thought you were going to say 3M as well.
Or... 3M could have it.
It's one of those other. We've got so many high quality companies though, Henry, and they get neglected. Yeah. What they're doing is steady growth and bashing this and preparing that and technologically doing this, that and the other. But the advances now have been superseded by other companies.
Yeah.
But they hold all the patents. So that's where some of the value is held on it. I pulled up something here, which I think could be interesting going forward. There's lots of talk now about advanced subsea piping, you know, 200 miles that way, 300 miles that way, 3,000 miles that way, oil, gas sort of stuff. And it's talking about the advanced subsea oil and gas peak-based pipe. Got flexible pipe. They're going, yep, we can put that together. We can engineer that and we can run it for miles and deliver that from there to there and all the rest of it. Now, that should be all over the news that we've got a company in the UK that's able to deliver that and, you know, use the word loosely, provide peak performance for flows of oil and gas from all over the world.
Yeah.
We don't hear anything about it. No, who's championing it? Who's that? Who's the head of trade? Yeah.
No one. They're just too inefficient. Victrex is the kind of business, and God help me if there's someone from Victrex listening, but it strikes me as exactly the kind of business where you've got a really sleepy board of blokes that have sat there for decades and they've always worked there and it's just their turn to sit in the chair. They turn up, they do the same thing as last year, they'll do the same thing next year as they did this year. Doesn't really matter whether we go forwards or we go backwards, we'll produce some papers and we'll chair some meetings and things will just tick along. And meanwhile, you've got this fantastic British business that's just withering on the vine. I mean, operating profits halved in 4 years, 3 years, gone from 88 million to 40 million. And you think, how are you doing that? What the heck are you spending the money on? I mean, I know, okay, energy costs have gone up, staffing costs have gone up, that'll be part of it. But geez, come on. Like you say, we've got an undersea oil pipeline here. Get on that. Get on that. Get out there. Go and sell it. Stop chairing flipping meetings and faffing about. Go and do something.
They need to do something soon. And again, it's another company that's significantly at risk of somebody coming along and just going, put them out of the misery.
We'll have it. We'll have it. We'll sack off these managers that don't know what they're doing and we'll run it properly.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's the risk that they would have created that.
Yeah,
yeah, and then what do you get? The first statement: we think we're undervalued.
Yeah,
well, what have you been doing about it?
What are you doing about it? Exactly.
Oh dear. So yeah. So what's been the peak price in the past, Henry?
Let's have a look.
What's the price range you've got?
Share scope. It's it's not pretty at all. So 2021 was about £25 a share.
Right.
It's now down at £7.94.
And I
see absolutely no reason why that will not continue to fall. It's fallen on average 30% a year every year for the last 4 years.
Wow. So a chemicals company that's not, you know, hitting the spot.
It's just brutal. But you look at the margins and you go, well, what on earth are you doing in there? You know, all right, energy costs in the UK have gone up. Can you move the plant? salary costs have gone up. You know, can you, what can you do with your headcount? Do something. It's like they're set on this course. They just keep doing the same thing year after year, and it keeps getting worse. You know, well, this clearly isn't working, guys. So, buck up.
Yeah, they need a catalyst. They need a catalyst, Henry. I'm not sure what that is just yet. FTSE 250 company. So it's grown.
It'll be out if it carries on going the way it's going. It'll be out of the 250 before long.
Yeah,
it's down to a market cap of, it's under 700 million now.
700 mil, and like you say, it's been previously way above £1 billion in market cap. So yeah, another one. So these are just ideas to research, folks, to consider, or as we've proven with the ones we've spoken about thus far, maybe not consider. You know what I mean? So, Henry, I've got another one here that I'm going to speak about, which is a little bit, well, I say this, and I'm going to keep my fingers crossed because you're going to probably go, what a load of noise. What a load of rubbish. Pete's picked out another dud. So I'm going to brace myself for what you're going to say, but I think it's a bit better than the previous one that I spoke about. This is another little one that we've got, Henry. I say little because our billion-pound companies are very small in comparison to their US peers. This is Rotork.
The name.
Ticker symbol ROR. Yeah.
Raw.
So this is a £2.7 billion company, 52-week price range of £2.75, a high of £3.61, forecast PE of 18.7, forecast dividend of 2.7. I've pulled this one out, Henry, because unlike the previous company I spoke about, it's actually got a rush of 22.2, and notably, it is above the three-year average of its Roche of 21.1.
It has improved its return on capital.
So it's improved its returns consistently over the past 3 years.
Je suis approve.
Oh, we've got a slight approval from Henry. I can't even say the word. That's a rare as
hell. Shocked.
Yeah, I am shocked, actually, because I was tentatively going, oh, he's going to go for me.
No, I like the look of this on first look.
Don't get your hopes up too much. Let me just finish my speech on this one, mate, before you get too excited. So Rotork is a UK-based engineering firm that's a global leader in flow control and instrumentation solutions. Headquartered nowhere else that Henry loves to go. Where does he love to go, apart from Edinburgh? Loves to go to Bath. Headquartered in Bath, England, and it's listed on the London Stock Exchange. It's part of another FTSE 250 company. If it continues to grow, share price goes up. Hopefully one day it will be a FTSE 100 company. Key segments, oil and gas, which has been doing okay this year so far. Electric and fluid power actuators, Henry. This is what they're big on, actuators. For upstream and downstream operations. Other segment, water and power, equipment for water treatment and power generation. Chemicals is a third one. Chemical, process and industrial is what their third segment is. Specialist solutions for complex industrial processes. Interestingly enough, confidence regarding their share price and having the ability to have additional free cash flow. They started a £50 million share buyback in March. So if no one else is buying it, they think their shares are currently undervalued and they're buying their shares back to the tune of 50 million. Some would say 50 million for a 2.7 billion market cap company. That's not a lot, is it really? But they think it's undervalued. Recent news, they delivered 200 electric actuators to the One Dias for its NO5 upstream gas processing platform in the North Sea off the coast of the Netherlands. So these are people.
I just done a bid for One Dias.
There you go. So they're buying the best actuators that they can find, mate. Trading update 7th of March. Good order intake in Q1. Continue to expect a year of progress. So another positive. So they're saying they're doing reasonably well and strong. Order intake was in the mid-single-digit range of the year. All divisions achieved higher orders year on year, which is good, with water and power delivering the highest growth. Orders from LNG liquefaction sector was strongly ahead year on year. So lots and lots and lots of positives there. And they'd made a small acquisition, bolt-on acquisition, 44 million of NOAA actuation, which was completed in March of this year. Nicely enough, Henry, they've got £91 million worth of cash as of the 31st of March. I'm not sure if that includes the 50 million they're going to spend on the buyback or not. I didn't check that detail. Let's have a little look here. They mentioned tariffs again. Of our three North American facilities, which together present around a fifth of the group sales, which are located in the UK, US, sorry, and have the capacity to supply a majority of local demand. Additionally, to cover incremental costs and rising for higher tariffs, a surcharge increase has been implemented. Another one. Yeah. Outlook. Since we reported the results, there has been no significant change in order trends or customer behavior in April. It has been in line with expectations. While we are mindful of ongoing macro uncertainty, we continue to expect 2025 to be a year of progress. Order books, good and positive end markets. Interestingly enough, Henry, don't have to wait long. In your diary, my mate, if you're happy with this, what I've said so far, the 5th of August, they'll be publishing the half-year results. Will they be good? Will they be bad? Will they be taken over before that? Who knows? But that's what I'll be waiting for. I'll be looking out to see where they are on what they do and what they say on the 5th of August. If they say, you know what, with bells and whistles, we've smashed it. Tariffs have not impacted us. That share price goes above 318 and more and heads towards its 52-week highs.
Beautiful.
Do your worst, Henry. Go on. What you got to say for
Well, actually, it's got a lot of things I like, if I'm honest.
I'll take that.
You know, I'm a big fan of return on capital employed. 22% is well above my target benchmark.
I thought you'd like that, mate. Yep.
I like the fact it's net cash. I like the fact it's profitable. I love the fact that it's got forecast growth. And quite strong forecast growth as well.
Not bad, is it? Not bad at all.
You know, we're looking at forecast growth in turnover of 5%, forecast earnings per share growth of 7%, forecast pre-tax earnings of 38%.
Yeah.
You know, it pays a dividend, 2.5%. Not great, but not terrible. My only concern with it, and this is more of a personal preference than anything, is the fact that it makes half of its revenue from selling odds and ends to the oil industry. And I am not a fan of the oil and gas industry. And I am aware of the huge hypocrisy of that, in that I work for an insurance broker and many of our clients are oil and gas. And they're some of my biggest customers. So I will work for them professionally, but when it comes to my investment portfolio, I won't go near them. So throw your rocks, if you will, at hypocrite on the Twin Peaks.
Rocks being thrown at you by your clients going, Henry, how dare you?
What are you doing? It is what it is.
Personal thing. I get that.
You know, I think for me, one thing that I always try to be balanced with opinions and views, unless I'm going for a humorous effect. But, you know, an oil and gas, we live in a world that needs it. It's in our clothes, it's in our cars, it's in our computers, it's in the planes, it's in the packaging for the food, it's in the transport for the food, it's in the harvesting for the food, it's in our medical components, it's in our hospitals, it is everywhere. Now, would I love to see a world where we don't have to dig oil and gas out the ground and burn it and pollute the planet? Yeah, I would. We don't have an option right now, though. Just turning it off at the tap isn't going to work. I mean, it'll stop us digging out any more oil and gas and using it, but you'll find your lights don't turn on tomorrow morning. So probably not a great option. So businesses like Rotork, they are essential to the economy right now. They're essential to the world we live in. Without them, you don't have your oil rig pumping oil and gas and transport. You don't have your pumps at the petrol stations. You don't have your pressure valves and all the rest of it for your planes and your cars. So a business like Rotork, it's a real part of the real world we live in, and it's doing very well at what it does. So that ticks a lot of boxes for me if I set aside my concerns about the industry it operates in.
Yeah, well, I'm going to mention another stock right at the end of this pod, which is going to really upset you, which is in the oil and gas sector.
Oh, no. Well,
Well,
before we get to that one, I'm gonna land you in it now.
oh, here we
Because
go.
mine is one that, ladies and gentlemen, we've heard Peter say his father owns some of this. So this is not a ramping opportunity. Far from it. The company is Croda, the ticker CRDA, and Peter's going to sit there in stunned silence whilst I go and talk about this
Because I'm waiting
business.
for the share price to drop so I can buy it. And you're going to tell people
Well,
about it and say all positive things about it. And then the share price is going to go up as it always does.
this is a balanced view on this one, ladies and gents. Again, you'll notice the two I've spoken about so far have got quite a few not so sure about that elements to them. Croda's no exception. It's a £6.3 billion market cap specialty chemicals company. It operates through three segments: consumer care, life sciences, and industrial specialties. They produce ingredients for cosmetics and skincare and hair care, flavorings, fragrances. The life sciences business manufactures products for the healthcare and agrochemicals industry, so think fertilizers, that sort of thing. And the industrial business does something. Hold on a second. Where are my notes? Here we are. Right, the industrial business, the majority of it was sold to Cargill in 2022. The only bits that they've got left basically support the two other sectors. So it's basically gone. So it's a life sciences business and it's a cosmetics and healthcare business. Now, I think this is a potential target because it supplies high value, sustainable ingredients to some really big, well-known blue chip brands, right? Core components of things that you see on the shelf, the products that you see on the shelf in the supermarkets are only there because Croda is producing what it produces. It's got a reputation as being a clean and green chemicals company. So unlike some of the big US conglomerates that, they don't really care if they destroy the waterways, burn the planet and destroy nature, Croda is doing its very best to look after the environment whilst producing these chemicals. And that adds brand value, it adds valuation premium. It's very attractive for multinationals who are coming under increasing pressure to meet net zero and sustainability goals. It's also simplified itself. So now it's got shot of the industrials arm. It's a simpler business. It's easier to understand. It's easier to value. It's a more focused, more digestible acquisition target. If I was in an M&A team, I'd like the sound of some of this by now. It pays a dividend, 3.5%. It's cash flow positive. It's got a positive return on capital employed. So this is the kind of business that I could see somebody coming along. I'm just going to call up the share price, coming along and snapping up. Because in addition to all of the above, in addition to all of the above, the share price has gone from a high of £100 a share, but nearly £110 a share in 2021, all the way down to £29.75.
Sub 30. During
So Peter's
lockdown.
going to be loading up
During
on that. And
lockdown,
you
yeah.
can't now because I've just mentioned it on the pod, so near. Tough luck, buddy.
Whether you are an experienced or new investor, you know how valuable it is to conduct portfolio enhancing analysis and to have easy access to data that will give you the edge. As a Twin Peaks investing podcast listener, you can access an exceptional offer, the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. This special Twin Peaks offer is available to new subscribers only, and you can subscribe using the promo code Twin Peaks. The incredible and exclusive offer means that monthly subscribers will get their second month free, and annual subscribers will get their 13th month free. Sign up and subscribe today using the Twin Peaks promo code, and you can save up to £69. Visit shareScope.co.uk for further details and subscribe to the investing and trading analysis and data you need.
Don't know what to say about that, Henry. Don't know what to say about
Well, what can you say? I've sunk your
it's
battleship now. I'll be off the podcast next episode.
It's on my watch list. My dad's got said load of it, and I've said a couple of times already that I've got it on my watch list, and I'm thinking of buying it. But I've got a price in my head and a price point in my head, and it's nearing that. I agree with you. I think they're vulnerable to it. Tariff impact again regarding a lot of their revenue coming from overseas and especially America. The strength of the pound's not helping them at the moment either. And it's one of those companies that once it peaked in 2021 and that sort of rug was pulled from under it, we came out of lockdown, it's not recovered. And it's a case of, I've had people ringing me up saying, oh, Pete, it's £70 a share now. I've been buying. Oh, Pete, it's at 50 quid a share. I'm buying. When are you buying? I'm going, I'm not buying any yet. I'm not buying it. And this year, going into 2017, I'm looking at buying it with a view of 12 months to 18 months. It should get the catalyst from the next that very segment you've been speaking about of to get the boost. So if they start to show an element of navigating the tariffs and the FX headwinds, and that segment of the business gets the boost that I'm what they're expecting from what the things that they basically made up so much investment into that segment, Henry, that it's now a case of it's coming. And it should be the latter part of 2025 into 2026. And then the revenue starts to go up. Will it get back to £110 a share? I think that's highly unlikely. Highly unlikely. But we look at 110, 30, put them together. What you got? 140. Fibonacci in the middle. Bosch, 50%, £70. If you can get between 30 and 70, what have you got there? 50 quid. So why can't it be between 50 and 70 quid in a year's time, year and a half's time? Whilst, I forget what you said the yield was now, 3% and a bit. Whilst you're waiting.
3%, yeah.
3% and a bit.
Nearly 4%.
So, yeah. So nearly 4% whilst you're waiting, with a view that potentially you can get 50% in 2 years' time, plus 3%, nearly 4% a year. So why wait for another 50p maybe? It's just, I've got the price in my head. That's where I've set my stall out. I'm waiting. Will it get there? I don't know. Will it get there after you've spoken about it now? Probably not. But it is where it is. But it's a good company. It's a good company. It's done all right. Is my pops happy about it? Is he hell happy about it?
No, he must be furious.
Yeah. But Henry, I said this to you on the pod before. I said it to the listeners here. I told him years ago, and I told him when it was popping at 100, I was like, there's no reason for it to be up here at this price. It's ridiculous. Get rid of some. I'm happy with me. I'm loving me. Get me dividends. And I remember it. Bosch. You know, what do I know?
What do you know? You only host an investing podcast.
There you go. Anyway, I'm not here to give advice. So, no. Yeah, I will. It'll be one of them stocks. When I buy it, I will declare it straight away. I've decided, and I've spoke about it before. I'm not selling anybody what I'm buying anymore. I'll let them know when I want to let them know, and put my cards on the table with my contract notes accordingly. Right, Henry, I'm going to quickly mention two things very, very quickly, because I'm conscious of the time, and then I'm going to throw one stock up where I'm just going to mention and just run, because you're going to go, what the hell? So Memphis, we had a little mini event last week with regards to we've got this room that we've put together. It's all linked to what we're raising the money for, the employability stuff we're doing with the young people. So we had Caterpillar there, and I think we had somebody from, we have a couple of companies that came along to it, actually. There's one name in particular that's bugging me that I can't remember now. It was a local firm. But we had them come over to see us on, it was last Friday. I'm just track of the days, mate. Last Friday, last Thursday. So we opened that particular room that's been devised to prepare the kids. So we're helping them. It's all part of this employability program we're putting together, which is what we're raising money for. With the fundraise that we've done so far, we've got £2,042 raised thus far. Unfortunately, we've not had a donation in the past 3 weeks, so I'm hoping you generous souls can make a little donation if you've enjoyed the pod or anything we've said in the past anybody's been on here for 2.5 years now, anything you've enjoyed that anybody's said in the past 2.5 years, or what I've said in the past two and a half years, please just make a small donation. It's going to go to Memphis to help disabled children and their families and their carers and all the rest of it, and help towards the employability scheme. You can do so at www.justgiving.com/page, Peter Higgins, and it's going to the Memphis Disability Charity for Young People. Quickly, Henry, the Investor Summit. We've added some names, mate. Yeah. Added some names. This is happening on the 13th of August, folks, in London at the brewery, Chiswell Street, a very bespoke venue that everybody loves to bits. And one of the names I wanted to add, I'm not sure I added this name last time because it's just recently been confirmed, is Nick Brind, fund manager at Polar Cap. Did I mention Nick Brind last time? Don't think I did.
Think so. Don't
We've think got so. Nick Brind is a fund manager at Polar Capital Global Financial Trust team. Additionally, and this is, I'm telling this before they've even shared it on the website yet, but I'll share this with you because by the time it goes out on Friday, they might have done it. We've got Reg Hoare, the managing director of MHP Communications. He's been in the industry for over 40 years. Is it the brains trust of a lot of things is our Reg. And what's the other name that I've got that I hadn't mentioned before? I think I've mentioned Henry Biola here before. Not sure about that one. Fernando Valda, a director of Energize Africa. We've got him stepping up because the CEO is unavailable. And we've got Val Frail of Coolbag, of HVivo, of EGT, European Green Technologies, and everything else involved with that sort of space. He's an entrepreneur, a significant entrepreneur. We've got Val Frail, people. All you people that know him know he's a bit of a shrewd cookie. I think I mentioned Laura Fall before, portfolio manager at Janus Henderson Investors, and all the others I mentioned before. All there. Get your tickets, discount your tickets now. Henry's excited about it. We've got a lot of work to do on it as yet, and we'll do the main launch and schedule probably in the next week or so, so you can see exactly what each and every one of those individuals are doing. Any comments, Henry? Are you still excited?
I'm absolutely stoked, Peter. Absolutely stoked. We're going to be up there on that stage. There's going to be a whole room full of people watching us, and they're going to think, what on earth are these two Wally Brains doing? Where did they find these two?
Who let them out of the brew cupboard? Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Right. So you've covered all your stocks, Henry. I'm going to mention these stocks for people to go away and look at because they're all linked. Well, I say linked. They're the behemoths of the companies we've talked about. And Henry's mentioned one of them already. But some of the US stocks that are could be predators of the companies we've talked about, but also are richly priced, but could continue to be richly priced because they're coveted by US investors. Our stocks in the UK are rarely coveted by UK investors. That's unfortunately where we're at. And one of the discussions we're going to be having on the Investor Summit on August the 13th. Henry, you've heard of most of these, but there's probably going to be one that you've not heard of, at least. Thermo Fisher Scientific, you've heard of that one. Ticker symbol TMO. Life sciences, tools, lab equipment, diagnostic. Keysight Technologies, ticker symbol Keys. Electronic design and test solutions. Agilent Technologies, Henry, ticker symbol A, you've heard of that one? Yep. Analytical instruments and lab services, another one to look into. Amatec Inc., ticker symbol AME, electronic instruments and electromechanical devices. Fortiv Corporation, ticker symbol FTV, industrial technology and precision instruments. Teledyne Technologies, you've heard of that one, Henry, TDY. Digital imaging, instrumentation, aerospace. And then another one, National Instruments. Not Texas Instruments, National Instruments. Ticker symbol NATI. Automated test and measurement systems. All US listed stocks. I'm giving you all them as a little bonus to go away and look at. And if you find one of them that you like, send me and Henry a little message and say, actually, Peter and Henry, I actually quite like that one over there that mentioned. Never heard it mentioned before. Let us know what you think about it. Right,
I've got a
didn't we?
feeling NATI has got an acquisition offer here, but I may be
Okay.
wrong.
Okay. It's all good. Right, Henry, you didn't have any more stocks, did you? Do you want me to throw this
No, that
one
was me,
out?
John.
That was you done. Right, okay. I'm going to feel so scared. He's giving me that look from the side. You give me side eye now because you know I'm going to upset you. Right, this stock, I'm going to give some clues now. People can start shouting out when they work out what it is, right? This stock is a stock I've owned before. This stock is a stock I made a shed load of money on. And this stock is also a stock which I held a bit too long, which I held partially off and then lost a bit of money on. This stock is now suspended from the stock market. Yeah, and has been for a little while. This stock has also been made a bid of. Yeah, and Henry and I have spoken about this stock in the past. Henry, come
Oh
on,
no,
what is it
it's
called?
not. It's not. Go
Go
on.
on.
It's not
This stock
Argentex.
was bid, a bid was tabled at 35 pence a share by Sadara. The name of the stock is Wood Group, Henry.
Oh, it's Wood Group. I thought you'd gone. Oh, right. Wood Group. Wood
Wood
Group.
Group.
Have
Suspended.
you not
Suspended
learned,
now.
man? Have you not learned? Have you not had your
I
fingers snapped off?
had a look, mate. It was sitting there. The bid was 35 and it was nearer to 18 pence. And I thought, it's going to be zeroed or 30 pence. And I had a little nibble. 2 weeks after I had a nibble, it was gone. Suspended. You know, they've won a few
Wood
contracts
Group.
also. Allegedly, sorry, not allegedly. They've won a few contracts, a couple of contracts since it's been suspended. And if that doesn't help alleviate some of the worries that Sadara has got, I think when it comes back and it's gets relisted in the next 2 months or so, that it could be relisted prior to being taken out for 35 pence a share. And if it doesn't get taken out 35 pence a share, it comes back and the share price goes from 18 pence that it was delisted at. Sorry. Suspended at tip down to whatever. It's a binary bet, Henry. Options, got option traders all the time. You know, Bosch lost 100%, Bosch 100%. This is the binary play. I'm ice with options money, mate, not a big chunk of change. Stop
Wow.
with the mouth open. What are you saying?
Wow. I would have thought you'd learn the hard way after DJI9 not to go messing around with
It's a don't mess
companies.
with DJI 9, man. I mentioned DJI 9 on the last pod or the pod before last. Yeah, that I purchased
You
it.
can
It's already
come
up
back when
25.
that's back up at 90p and tell me I'm an
It won't
idiot
be
because
back
you've
at
got
that.
a tone
I've
bagger.
already got 25% increase on the price, mate. Already. We'll see what happens. Once it breaches 10p, mate, it'll be off. But I don't know with this wood stuff. There's too many skeletons in there that
I won't go
I
near that.
suspect. Yeah, I suspect Sadara are going to go, oh my gosh, you're winning these contracts. It's like the 0.1% margins that you've got on some of these contracts. It's like, what's the point? It's costing you to bloody, you know, go for these contracts. Anyway, so
Wow.
that's my last dog, mate,
I
that
mean,
I'm going
they've
to tell
got
you.
4% of their revenue from Iraq, for God's sakes.
I know they're in a war
It's
zone, mate. I
Iraq. I
know
mean,
that.
have you not noticed that there's a war going on in that
Before I
direction?
purchased it, Trump and co hadn't gone in there causing grief again, Iran and Iraq,
There's
right? So
Brunei,
don't
there's
start.
Saudi Arabia, there's, I mean, Papua New Guinea, for God's sakes.
Listen, the specialism is for the North Sea, by the way.
I'm just, mate.
It's options money, Henry. Don't beat me, mate. Listen, it's a tiny bit of money, mate. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Yeah, it will keep you in. What do you call those little pocket? What's the other thing you got? What go around your neck? What you wear?
A cravat.
A neck? Was it called
Cravat.
cravat? It will keep you in cravats, mate, for the rest of your life. And pocket handkerchiefs. I know you like those, mate.
I've just bought some new pocket squares, actually.
I thought you might. You're then going like that. Which one for the investor summit? Which one should I wear? This one or that one?
Exactly.
I know what you're thinking, mate. Right, folks, Henry and I have been here over an hour now. Henry, what do you want to add before we go, sir? Apart from telling me I'm an idiot.
Apart from telling Peter is an idiot, only thank you to everybody that's written in. I hope everybody is enjoying the weather here in the UK, if you're in the UK, and if you are abroad, I hope you're having good weather as well. I hope if you are in one of those areas of the world that is suffering from military turmoil right now, that things are settled down for you soon, and that you and your families are safe and that you are well, because we are very lucky here in the UK to just be able to walk out the door in the morning without things blowing up. That is not the case for a large part of the world right now. And, you know, I hope, I really do hope that things settle down on the geopolitical front. And the only other thing I would like to say, and Peter didn't know I was going to say this before I came on air, so bear with me a moment, was actually just to say that yesterday I actually, a friend of mine passed away. And the reason I want to mention this is just that my friend Kevin, he was 58 years old, and he was one of the nicest guys I've ever known. He leaves behind a wife and two children, a son of 20 and a daughter of 17. The last time I spoke to him was probably 2 months ago, and he was just coming out of the back end of cancer, and he'd beaten it, and he'd spent a year going through chemotherapy. And he'd fought it all the way, and he'd won. His hair was starting to come back, and I was so happy when I saw him, because he'd had to isolate because of the chemo. His immune system was down. And the last time I saw him, he was looking forward to getting back out, seeing friends, you know, getting out in the world. And sadly, yesterday he was coming off a tube, and he had a massive heart attack and died on the concourse.
Oh my gosh, Henry, I'm so sorry to hear that, mate.
And the reason I mention this, number one, is to say that if you are listening to this, please do hold, you don't know Kevin, but please hold his wife and his children in your thoughts. But also reach out to the people that you care about, because you never know when that last conversation is going to be. So reach out, say hello, ask how they're doing, because it never hurts. So hold your loved ones close, ladies and gents, and thank you again for tuning in.
So sorry to hear that, Henry. I know exactly what you feel like now, because that's happened to me at least on two occasions. And as I've admitted this on here before, and I've spoken to you personally about it, my Achilles heel is loss. I've tried everything, and I really do struggle with it. You know, especially with people that
I love
to death.
It hurts. Mm. It hurts. I got the phone call at 7 o'clock last night, and it's like I spent today going, geez, I don't know whether I'm coming or going. You know, but I feel more sorry for his wife and his kids than I do for myself. And at the end of it, I feel lucky to have known the man, because he really was a giant of a man in every way. An intellectual, he was very kind, very thoughtful, incredibly considerate. He was one of a group of friends that I mentioned towards the back end of last year that we were raising money for Centrepoint.
Yes.
And I said, look, we're trying to raise £5,000. If we can get there, I'd be over the moon. Mm. He didn't even ask me what I was raising, how I was raising it. He just put his hand in his pocket and put 50 quid in the pot.
Yeah.
You know, and he was that kind of guy. He was that kind of guy. He was always the first one up to help. He was always the first one with a kind word. And I was lucky to have known him. So.
Yeah. Oh, mate. Yeah. Deepest condolences to his missus and the two kids, mate. I'm hoping there's a whole behemoth of an extended family that I can support the three of those, because they're desperately, desperately going to need that right now. Okay. And if there's anything I can do, Henry, any support I can give to you or anybody else, just let me know.
Will do.
All right, mate. Right, ladies and gents, we're going to have to wrap there, because I'm going to have to go away and sort myself out, I think, before I do anything more on here. Henry, you take care of yourself, sir. Make sure you get a big cuddle from Variety this evening, and look after yourself. I will look forward to giving you a big hug myself soon. as soon as possible. Ladies and gents, that's a wrap. That's the end of 156 pod. We'll see you in 2 weeks' time. We'll be in July. This year is going so quick. If you enjoy this pod, please subscribe to the channel that you're on. Please give us some feedback on the channels that you're on. Let us know on X what your thoughts are about it, and share, retweet, and comment about it. And we look forward to hearing from you. Take care, and our best wishes to you wherever you are. Take care of yourselves and others and your loved ones, and reach out and have some calls and go and visit some people you've not seen for a little while. All right. Take care, everyone. All the very best. Bye for now.
Twin Peaks Investing Podcast is brought to you in association with ShareScope, the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. Visit ShareScope.co.uk and discover the advantage.